The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here live and in color, as always, which we will be, I'll remind everybody, again next week, the week after that, and the week after that, which encompasses two erstwhile holidays. But there's nothing I dislike more than old financial news. So if you want to hear some new financial news, be sure you tune in. Have an announcement for all you folks who might be looking at 100.3 FM. We have moved to 101.1, 600 AM, of course, and 101.1. So if you're having trouble finding us, go back to the AM and try that, or go to 101.1, try that. And we'll see what happens. Otherwise, just call us and say, where are you guys? 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. To all the regulars out there, thanks so much for coming back. You are the reason we show up every week. And to you new people, whether you're just driving by or perhaps visiting or whatever, welcome to the show. Stick around for a while, and hopefully you'll learn a little something. We're here to discuss not only recent events in the market, and you can't get the smile off Adam's face on that topic today, but also what we might do for you outside the office. And, of course, if you want to take some editorial control of the situation, all you got to do is pick up the phone and call, and we will be more than happy to put you to the front of the line and talk about whatever you would like to talk about today. There is a lot happening. I always love to come up with a word for the week in the market, but I thought since it's Christmas, I'll be a little more generous and have several words. So I came up with Trump, 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 the buyers are marching. How's that?
Yeah, pretty good. It's
not
all right.
Not really that poetic or anything, but my gosh, where do they all come from?
I don't know. I'll be honest, you say I'm happy, but I haven't been this nervous about this bull market until this week. I'm pretty nervous. I just feel like the entire thing is a setup for a big fall.
Yeah, for a rate hike overheated. And a market drop.
So
I wouldn't be surprised to see a pullback. I don't think they're talking about, you know, the folks that were saying 80% drop coming this year, that would have to be an 86% drop now. And of course, they were wrong then, they're wrong now. Could we get a pullback? Absolutely, we could.
Yeah, I think this next week, it's just inevitable we're going to see a rate hike. So
that, Fed meeting, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm going to get into that in more detail later in the show, but it is an interesting time for it to happen.
It is, and you could be 100% sure that we're going to get a rate hike, and still it'll be shocking to the street, and people will say, oh my gosh, we got to sell something, even though we all know it.
But this week, it's like nobody cares that
nobody
that's going to happen. So if this had happened last year at this time, which it did, you know what happened after that. We hit some pretty low.
It took a while to hit, but
it did. It took about 3 weeks to really start going down. But man, when it started with a bang.
And then a strange thing happened on or about February 13th.
People realized it didn't matter.
No. It's so ridiculous, people. Jumping in and out of this market will never get you anywhere in the long run, I promise. Taking a little profit at year end, that might be another story. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit, too, today, because along with all the various and sundry changes that are coming, are changes most likely in the tax code.
That is true. I think that is one thing we know for certain about a Trump presidency is that the tax code is going to change.
And that's my bit for today when we get to it. But meanwhile, all right.
Tell us. Yeah, we saw gains.
You can tell us what. You can't really tell us why, because the euphoria is just outrageous, I think. But
I'm
euphoric.
We all know the reason for that. Mm-hmm. For the week, we saw gains of 3.1% on the S&P 500 and the Dow, and the NASDAQ surged ahead 3.6% with tech companies finally joining the rally after kind of lagging the other sectors, and that really is what pushed the NASDAQ a little bit more than the other two. Commodities didn't fare quite as well, with oil, gold, and silver all dropping. The other area of continued weakness was in the bond market, where treasuries and corporates fell for the week. This is truly what we would call a risk-on rally, where everybody is flocking to equities and avoiding the quote-unquote safer assets. You're seeing it across the board. Utilities have lagged the other sectors, and that had actually been the leading sector prior to the election for the year.
Now, that said, energy is still a big winner this year.
Right, but energy has a whole other set of circumstances right now, and it's not necessarily acting like it normally does.
And so, commodities are basically soft, not because of the commodities themselves, but because the dollar's so strong.
That is also true.
The Trump rally and the dollar is legendary.
So I mentioned this when the Dow hit 18,000, but 100-point moves in the Dow are not what they used to be. At 19,700, a 100-point day on the Dow is just over 0.5% move, where in 2009, at the bottom of the market, a 100-point day represented a 1.5% move on the Dow when it was at 6,547. So it's a psychological shift that has occurred in a very short period of time, 7 years, and we have to think about a 100-point move in a totally different way than we did back then.
It's starting to look like a 1,000-point move.
You're going to see a lot more 100-point moves coming here in the near future.
We had a big move one day this week.
We did on Wednesday.
Something on Wednesday.
Yeah. So that was almost a whole percent.
Yeah, percent.
Or it was over a percent. But that is those 100-point moves are basically what a 50-point move was 7 years ago.
Yeah, and you know what happened Wednesday to cause that, don't you?
I'm not sure, actually.
Nothing.
Okay, that's why I wasn't sure.
I couldn't find one reason in the world why that should have been a big booming day, except the one thing that I do understand very well is that consumer confidence is back.
It is, which, again, you can read into that what you want. Yep. Confidence is one thing, but how that plays out in the market, it doesn't always correlate. So just be wary of that. Speaking of the Dow, who would have thought that the biggest gainer in the Dow stocks this year after the election would have been Goldman Sachs? Yes,
you.
The same Goldman Sachs that was banning employees from donating to the Trump campaign and paying Hillary Clinton $250,000 for hour-long speeches. But yes, 32%. It leads every other Dow stock since the election.
God has a sense of humor.
No doubt. On a sector basis, the best performer this year has been energy at plus 24.1%, followed closely by financials at 21.8%, industrials at 18.6%, and materials at 17.4%. The worst sectors have been healthcare at negative 4.6% and real estate at negative 0.5%. The underperformance of healthcare is likely due to the great uncertainty of what will happen to the sector under a Trump administration and the likely changes that are coming to Obamacare. I just don't think Wall Street knows what to expect in healthcare.
Yeah, that one still just leaves me cold. I do not understand. It can only get better, in my opinion.
Well, I had some interesting conversations with a healthcare professional about that this week. And part of the problem is that removing some of the governance by this administration has put on the current administration actually could lead to more pricing competition and lower prices, which we need, but that's not necessarily a good thing for the healthcare industry itself.
Well, you're not going to make it up in volume if people leave the system, that's for sure.
But you are going to make it up in volume on baby boomers retiring and needing more healthcare. So
exactly. We'll
see how that plays out. But I think it's going to be good for the industry.
I've got a word for that situation. Buying opportunity.
Yeah, that was my next note that I didn't quite get to.
Okay. Well, we will have I think I got time to give you a trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. And he's counting down. Maybe I won't. Yeah, I will. What the heck. Since the election, the Dow is up 7.8%. Of the 30 Dow stocks, how many are actually negative in that time? It's a regular number between 1 and 30. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Before we wrap up the market wrap, I think since we've kind of put a little scare in the hearts of men out there, what's your suggestion for what we do this coming week?
Well, in my case, my own personal account, I took some profits at the end of the day on Friday. I sold out, went to cash with about a fifth, a fourth or to a fifth of my portfolio. I just wanted to capture those gains and not lose them. Now, it may end up being the wrong decision next week, but I do think we're going to see some volatility in the coming weeks because we have a couple of big things coming up. We have a rate hike this week that is almost a done deal. I mean, the economic data supports it. The market certainly supports it. And the reaction to rate hikes, I did a lot of research on that this week, and I'll talk about that later, but it's very mixed. And the problem is that this is kind of unprecedented. Usually rate hikes come during periods of long economic booms. And while we have seen the economy improve, I would definitely not call it booming.
Now, I looked at all the stats this week, and it's certainly not booming.
No, it's plugging along just like mm-hmm. it's done, increasing a little bit for like it has for the last 7 or 8 years. And the only real comparison is December of last year, which that didn't work out real well in the short term.
No. So, and again, that said, both of us have supported rate hikes for a long time.
Absolutely, but they're not always good for the market.
No. But we do like to see savers making some more money. And I might point out, and I assume this is true, the profits you took were in an IRA, right?
Yes. So okay. No taxable events.
The taxes are going to be talked about here in just a minute. But there is reason to be very careful of how you handle your tax situation this year because Trump has a tremendous amount of momentum. And his plan includes some tax rate changes for people that might make a big difference what you want to do if you're taking profits in a taxable environment. Tax-free environment, the nice thing about that, you just don't have to worry about it.
No, it really doesn't matter. The other big event that we need to watch out for is the end of the year profit taking mm-hmm. or loss harvesting, whatever it is. There is usually a little bit more selling going into the final weeks of the year just because people are sort of wrapping up their portfolios for the year and getting ready for the new year. And a lot of that involves selling, which can put a little bit of downward pressure on the market as well. So that's something to look out for.
And there's a problem, potential problem out there too, if you own mutual funds outside your retirement accounts, because a lot of mutual funds have already paid, but a lot more are going to be paying. A lot of the exchange-traded funds are paying soon. So if you're worried about getting income in this year and if you think you'd be better off without that mutual fund for a while, you might want to consider revamping that a little bit too rather than buy a dividend. Certainly don't buy a mutual fund outside your IRA right now until you find out if they've already made their annual distribution because you'll wind up with a taxable event and no money to show for it.
Yeah, and some have and some haven't right now. For instance, the Oakmark funds paid in late November, mm-hmm. and so those would be okay to buy, but there are certainly a lot of them left that have not done their distribution for the year.
And for those of you who are as crazy as we are and like to check your account balance constantly, don't worry if you see a sudden major drop in your mutual fund pricing because it probably just paid dividend that day and it might take a day or two to get it worked into the system with your new shares. So if you see a sudden drop of 10% in a mutual fund and it's not that kind of fund that does that, don't panic.
Yeah, we've seen that before. Had some sort of panic calls from clients, but
the worst times
it'll get there.
Yep, the worst times are when they do their distributions on a Friday.
Right.
So you wake up Saturday morning, you look and say, "Oh my God, XYZ fund is just the bottom fell out of it. What happened?" And that you got to wait until Monday sometime to see it posted on your account that you didn't really lose any money, gain shares at less value, so you break even. But I have seen panic that way quite a bit, too. So if any of our clients are listening out there and you are thinking about perhaps doing some profit-taking, call Adam, and he'll tell you how.
I will.
Right now?
No, not right now. Wait till later.
Later. Yeah. Okay, he'll tell you later. Yeah, you don't want to call him on the show. That's very true. Anyway, the trivia question again, and it's changed a little bit in the prize By the way, the prize is wide open. Nobody's won one in December. But Angie's Grom, which is a great little breakfast place out of the beach, with the gift certificate this week from First Coast Alarm is for Angie's Grom. Adam has been there a number of times, swears by it, says it's wonderful. A lot of you will recognize the first part of that as Angie's, which is a pretty well-known sub place around town. So apparently very good. And we're going to support them. All right. Taxes. One thing you can say for sure is that the momentum Trump has right now means that he's going to go into office on the 20th of January with a heck of a lot of political capital. One of his major goals is simplification and reform of taxes. Personally, I would like to see him go a lot further than he does, but the changes that he is promoting are almost all positive. And I say almost all because there's a couple of people that aren't going to be quite as well off that way. But one of the things you got to look at is the Roth IRA conversion. And that simply means converting money out of your traditional IRA to a Roth. When that happens, that is a taxable event in the year in which that conversion takes place. And there have probably been a lot of them done already this year. Well, right now, the tax bracket you are in is what you will pay for that. But you might not be in that tax bracket next year. Why? Well, there is a school of thought out there that says that if interest rates stay exactly the same now through your retirement, then there's absolutely no difference between a taxable IRA and a non-taxable or Roth IRA. I have always argued that that is absolutely not true. Here's a couple of the reasons. First off, if you pay the taxes now and convert it to a Roth, do you really trust Congress to say for the rest of your life that all of the money in that Roth is tax-free? I do not. I have no confidence that the Congress will leave the earnings on your Roth alone. Could be a grandfather clause when they do that, but there could be no grandfather clause when they do it. If you have good reason to do a Roth, certainly do one. But if you have converted a Roth this year, you might want to pay attention for a minute. Now, what happens when you do that? Well, you get a tax bill at the end of the year, and it is for you add the converted amount on to your marginal taxable income, and you pay whatever marginal tax rate there is on there. Well, right now, there are seven tax brackets, and they go up to 39.6%. Trump is proposing three brackets that only go up to 33%. So let's say you're in the 39.6. Lord knows we'd all like to be, and like it even better at 33. But there's also a 3.8% surtax for Obamacare. And if Obamacare is indeed repealed and replaced, that means that your overall taxes, which for some of you will be 39.6% plus 3.8%, that whole thing would drop to 33%. Well, that would make next year a heck of a lot better for you than this year. So what if you've already done a Roth, and what if you're contemplating doing a Roth conversion? Well, the Roth conversion for the rest of this year, which is only 2-3 weeks, you should think about it very carefully before you do the conversion in this year. But anybody, whether you've already done it this year or whether you do it the rest of this year, you have the option to completely undo that Roth conversion up to October 15th next year. So you can make a mistake and there's no penalty, there's no tax, and there's virtually no cost to you. It's a little bit of paperwork. That's it. So don't be afraid if your planning has already been and your execution has been to convert something to your Roth IRA and you get the tax bill. If you get sometime in the next year and if the tax laws do actually get changed, I believe they will be changed retroactively to January 1. The reason I believe that is when Bill Clinton came in and raised taxes, he raised them retroactively to January 1, and I was, of course, livid. That, to me, was an ex post facto law, strictly prohibited by the Constitution, but I digress. Otherwise, if you didn't get a retroactive, you'd want to wait anyway, probably, but I think you will. That concept was solidified when Bush came in 01 and reduced taxes retroactively. So now we're even. But the precedent is set now that new presidents come in, get some or all of what they want in the tax code changes, and they get them retroactively to January 1. This is, to me, a good thing, and it does allow some great tax planning opportunities to happen on the Roth conversion possibility. So if you have done it or if you're planning to do it, my advice to you would be go ahead, leave it there, wait a little while after the first of the year, and you will see what happens to the tax law. And if they do indeed reduce taxes retroactively to January 1, then you have one more consideration. What happened to that Roth IRA after you converted it? If you, the money you converted is greater or lesser, it has different tax impacts when you bring it back. So you want to think about that. That's a very good topic to bring up with your advisor. And if your advisor doesn't know enough about how it works, then you got the wrong advisor.
Maybe find a new one.
Well, I assume that you'll tell them how right after the break.
I will do that.
Okay, very good. All right, we're going to take a break. I want to redo the trivia question. Out of the 30 stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, how many are down since the election? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Sure.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And in this segment, it's brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. Time to get your place spiffied up a little bit for the holidays. Public service announcement, Bark for Life, an event that brings together two things that we all pretty much care about, dogs and the Cancer Society. It's an event being held at Dogwood Park on Salisbury Road, I believe, right over here on the south side near where we sit, on January 21st. The website is www.relay.com. For Life, R-E-L-A-Y, forlife.org/BarkSouthsideFL for Florida. And it's just a big old dog get-together. They will take sponsors. Generally, what it's for is to bring people and dogs and dogs and dogs all together, but to benefit the American Cancer Society, which pretty much touches everybody anytime. So we'll bring it up every Saturday until then. And if you want more information, I believe we're linked to it on our website, right?
Yes, just go to our radio and podcast section and go to the Partners tab, and it's underneath there. You'll find the logo for it. Just click on that, and it'll take you to the website.
Bark for Life. I like that. All right. We actually do have day jobs, which we'll discuss a little bit. But if you would like to talk to somebody about any of the topics that we bring up or any of the topics you'd like to bring up and are either too complicated or perhaps too shy for the radio itself, then give us a call at the office and Adam will tell you how.
Sure. Our office number is 904-685-1505. And as Dad mentioned, in real life, we are financial planners. We're fee only and we are members of NAPFA. The only way you can get to be a member of that great organization is to be fee only and charge no commissions or fees outside of your assets under management fees.
Don't be fooled by the term fee-based.
That is correct.
It is smoke and mirrors.
It's a sham, people. It's a sham. We're located right off of Butler Boulevard in Jacksonville Beach, easy to get to from all points in the city. You can find us there during the week, or you can find us online at vanweefinancial.com. If you need to know how to spell our name to find us, it's V-A-N-W-I-E, or for those in the military, Victor, Alpha, November, Whiskey, India, Echo. So no excuses. Find our website. You can book a meeting right from there or on our Facebook page at facebook.com/VanWeFinancial or Twitter at VanWeFinancial.
Wonderful. And good morning, Larry.
Good morning. I know you missed me.
Well, absolutely.
An opinion on precious metals, gold, silver.
Yes.
Please, sir. It's dead. Silver's down right now.
They both are.
And gold's down.
My opinion is it's a buying opportunity brought to you by the strong dollar, brought to you by the Trump win in November.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to get it. Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of people out there saying that.
It's on a pile, and it's worthless.
There's a lot of people thinking that the dollar might continue that run-up, though. So I wouldn't dive into whatever it is you set as a target. If you want to invest $10,000, I would put maybe some in now and sort of keep an eye on things. And if the dollar does go up and gold and silver drop further, keep buying.
Yep. Oh, I'm not diving in. I'm sitting on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I've neither bought nor sold any of the metals recently. I do believe there's a period of stronger inflation coming. And if business continues to get better and better, it'll drive the price of labor up. Some of the materials will be driven up. It will work its way in. You know, everybody knows we're already in a period of inflation, but I think it's going to come to the point where the government actually has to admit it. And when that happens, you're going to see people shifting back into metals as a hedge against that inflation. Right now, it's somewhere between a buying opportunity and a steal, in my opinion, but it could go a little lower before it starts ramping up. So I certainly wouldn't sell right now.
Quick opinion on American Tinker Toy, ATT, ticker symbol.
The service at my house is getting worse instead of better. That's my opinion.
Well, I understand that. I barely hear on this telephone.
Adam, what do you think? I mean, high dividend stock, right?
Yeah, it is. And overall, it's a good company. It's an industry that affects everybody right now. If you don't have a cell phone, you're in like the 2% of America that somehow missed that trend. But there is a lot of competition as well from the other major providers. So buying just one of them is a little risky to me. If I were going to do it, Verizon also pays a good dividend. I might put a little bit in each.
Or there's a communications exchange traded fund too that'll get you all of those and more.
Yeah, I'm spread all the way across the board.
Okay. Good. Yeah, that's a good place to be.
Diversified there. Okay.
Wonderful.
I appreciate the opinion, gentlemen.
Would you like to take a shot? The trivia is just a guess anyway.
I'll get 15. I mean,
all right, well, that was a good guess, but it's too high. But you've really you've made our little range a lot tighter now, so that's a good thing.
For somebody, okay, that's fine. Okay, y'all have a good weekend.
Oh, thank you very much. We appreciate your call.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye bye.
Yeah, that buying something like AT&T right now, I don't know. All those many of the stocks right now are so darn high that the dividend yield isn't quite what it could be. And if we do get a pullback in some of the big caps like that, you're going to find the dividend yield is more enticing if you wait a little while.
That's if you are buying for the dividend, that is something to consider.
And I don't know if you're buying for growth. It's pretty saturated, I think.
Yeah, that's not really a growth stock. So if you're buying that, it's most likely for value.
Very mature company. Maybe they'll go ahead and take some other companies and merge them back and create the old days.
I don't think there's any left to merge. There's only a handful of telecoms
right about
left.
That. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's happening?
Take a shot at the trivia question.
Sure.
Four.
Well, you've helped our range people, but you're a little bit low. It isn't horseshoes or hand grenades, so it doesn't count, unfortunately. But you're low.
Let me say thanks for doing the show, guys. Listen every week and really enjoy it.
Well, we really appreciate that. Tell your friends.
Yeah. Will do.
Thank you very much. That's always fun to hear.
Definitely.
All right, we've got a range, folks, 4 to 15. So you want to take a shot at it? Your chances of winning are improving every second. All right. What happens after the Fed raises interest rates? Well, a number of things do, and it's anything but predictable, as it turns out.
This is true. So I did a bunch of research this week in honor of the imminent Fed rate hike. I wanted to know how the market has reacted historically to the Fed raising interest rates. for the market data. I pulled weekly data going back to the mid-1990 from the S&P 500 from Yahoo Finance. For the Fed rate changes, I used the website fedprimerate.com. Outside of December of last year, you have to go all the way back to 2006 to find a period of tightening monetary policy. Since July of 1990, the Fed has raised rates a total of 34 times, 32 of which were 25 basis point hikes and 2 of which were 50 basis point hikes. This makes it extremely difficult to compare this rate hike to others. As I mentioned before, most of those came during times of really outstanding economic prosperity and economic expansion. Again, I just don't – this era we're in right now, things are improving, but at a very slow rate, it's just not the same. Outside of December of 2015, we have never seen what a rate hike will do to the stock market after 10 years of zero interest rate policy. After last year, we saw the Dow hit 15,503 in February, while the S&P dropped to 1810 and the NASDAQ down to 4,209. This represented the first 10% correction we had seen during the current bull market, and while it was a far drop, it also recovered very quickly. By this past summer, everything had pretty much sorted itself out, or at least we thought it had until the Brexit vote came about. The average change in the S&P 500 during the actual week of those rate hikes was a gain of 0.8% for all 34, while the median change in the S&P was 0.58. However, if you look at the five-week period following those rate hikes, the average decline is 0.21%, while the median decline is 0.31%. Remember, most of those rate hikes happened during periods between June 2004 to May of 2006, the housing boom, or June 1999 to May of 2000, the dot-com bubble, and January of 94 to January of 96, which was the middle of the longest period of economic expansion in U.S. history. So you're not really comparing apples to apples with
this. I'm confused. I think I know what I'm going to do when they raise rates.
What's that?
Take a vacation. I can't see buying or selling into this decision. It just doesn't seem to make sense to me. Don't be afraid of a little pullback, a market pause, a market even up to a correction. It's all normal. It's healthy. I think we'd be better off to be down a little bit going into the new year, but I couldn't even guarantee that. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we still have the trivia questions sitting out there. How many Dow Jones 30 stocks are actually down since the election? We know that 4 is too low. We know that 15 is too high. But that means it's in between those two, doesn't it? All right. Adam was talking about rate hikes and the possibilities that follow them based on an historical viewpoint. And he's got a little more to wrap that up. And then I want to give you some more information about the Trump tax plan.
So I looked at the five-week period following a rate hike, and I found that the worst week statistically is the fourth week after a rate hike, in which the average drop in the S&P was 0.57%. Last year after the rate hike, we saw a 5.7% drop in the S&P 500 in week four, which follows that trend. And the five-week period following that rate hike, we saw a drop of – it actually improved in week five, so the drop was just over 5%. But that actually rates as one of the 10% worst five-week periods in the S&P during this time period. So that alone is enough to give me a little bit of jitters, just because this rate hike looks a lot like last year's rate hike. We're still near zero interest rate policy. We've been that way for 10 years, and we're doing about as well as we were last year at this time, the only difference being the Trump rally. So it's really hard to make a prediction on this one, but like you said, I wouldn't buy or sell based on it until we kind of see what happens early this week when the market is sort of gearing up for that Wednesday announcement.
It's the same advice we gave prior to the election. Don't buy or sell into it. And if you were holding anything after that, it was good advice.
Well, it's a big difference this time is that now we know what's going to happen. We didn't know what was happening in the election, but we just don't know what the reaction will be.
True. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. I want to take a guess.
Oh, be my guest.
And guess 7.
Oh, you're close, but you're high. Sorry about that.
Somebody's going to get it now.
I'm sure they will, and I'm sure they'll thank you. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Talk to you soon. All right, folks, you now know it's between 4 and 7. You have two choices, one of which is right, one of which is wrong.
Yep, that's right. So
we're not giving you a leeway on this one.
One interesting thing about the Dow is it is a it's a weighted index. Mm-hmm. So you see a gain of 3% and you want for the week, and you wonder how some of them could have gone down. You mm-hmm. would think everything went up in the rising tide, but because one of the big gainers was Goldman Sachs, which
price
is
weighted,
one of the bigger price stocks in the index, there were some losers.
Can you buy the Dow on an equal weighted basis? I know you can do that with the S&P.
I am sure someone has come up with that ETF.
And of course, anybody who knows the theory of the dogs of the Dow know that in January that's going to reset, and the 10 stocks in that index will be the ones with the highest dividend yield. And since some stocks are dramatically underperforming their peers, I'm going to have to look at that right after they get that done. It might be a good way to look for some growth in a new fashion for next year. So got some things to talk about. But first, good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to take a guess.
Well, be our guest.
Good luck.
I flipped a coin, so I'm going to go with 6.
Well, what was it? Heads, you do 6, and tails, you lose?
Right.
Well, you won.
All right.
How about that? Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, Visa, Merck, Coca-Cola, and Cisco are actually down since the election. The other 24 Dow stocks are all up, some of them remarkably up. But there, as Adam said, with that price weighting, it can fool you. If you say, oh, well, Dow's up 3.1%, and I barely did anything this week, which is kind of like me, it's because you don't own those particular things. It's nothing mysterious, happens all the time, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Okay, do you have any other questions, or I'll put you on hold and we'll get your address?
No, I don't have any questions today, thanks.
All right, thanks so much. All right, we have a winner. It's 20% of the index down, 80% up. That's pretty good stuff, I think.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty broad-based rally.
It is indeed. Okay. Are you wrapped up, or you want to put an exclamation point on this?
I am done with that, but there was one other thing I wanted to talk about.
Well, please do.
I was having an interesting conversation this week with one of my peers who works for a large bank here in town who does similar things to what we do. The bank doesn't. No, but his personal function is very similar in terms of managing other people's money and financial planning for his clients.
Gotcha.
And he was saying that he was getting a lot of complaints from his customers this week because they weren't going up with the market. Well, again, this is one of those periods where if you have any sort of diversification in your portfolio, you will probably underperform the S&P and especially the Dow right now. Mm-hmm. But remember, the Dow is 30 stocks and that's it. And if you're just in 30 stocks and that's your entire investment portfolio, there will be a time when you will regret that. It wouldn't be right now, but it's coming.
Well, and if you want to really feel better about the diversification theory, just look at last year. Last year, the numbers on the indices said nice things, but most people didn't make squat last year because they didn't own the four FANG.
Yep, FANG
the
stocks.
FANG stocks. Those things took off. Now, this year, if you only own them, you'd probably be hurting a bit this year.
Especially in the last few weeks.
If you've got more than a couple of years in the market, diversifying cannot possibly hurt you. And if you don't, what the heck is that money doing in the market?
That's a good point.
If you don't have 5 years to stay in there, don't even think about it. The market risk itself is just going to eat your lunch if you need it in the interim. After 5 years, your chances of success improve dramatically. And if you've got 10 or 15 years, then it improves again very dramatically. So keep those lessons. Don't get greedy when you see a market running like this. Invest carefully. Plan first. Use a qualified fee-only CP or CFP for your investing. And, of course, we would like to be one of the people that you consider. So give us a call. All right, the Trump tax plan, a few things to consider. The possibility of having quite a dramatic rate reduction at the higher levels should really cause people to think seriously about what they're doing. You could be looking at somewhere in the 10% savings rate by making your moves next year instead of this year. And to me, that's really a big deal. So keep this in mind. We got to watch what Congress does. They're going to mess with him. You know they're going to. Paul Ryan actually came out the other day. Trump wants to take the 35% corporate tax rate down to 15%, which would put us just tremendously competitive in the world. So the first thing that Ryan does, he opens his mouth and says, well, maybe 20%. Come on.
Why do we need to negotiate on that?
Yeah, this is the most ridiculous thing. Every time that man opens his mouth, I feel like the world gets a little bit dumber. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Anyway, what to do? People who can manipulate their income, and some of you know who you are. Let's say you have a small business and you're doing a project in December that hasn't been billed yet. You might want to drag your feet and bill it out on the second day of January instead, pushing your income to next year where your tax bracket is likely to be lower. What about expenses? Well, there's a real big change in this tax law, assuming, and I am assuming right now, he gets everything he wants because I have no way to predict otherwise. The standard deduction, that's that which you get when you are a regular old taxpayer that doesn't use a long form. You just file a 1040 short form. Standard deductions is going up for a married couple from $11,600 to $24,000, but you're losing your personal exemptions. It's not a pure gift, but it does alter the way you might want to think about taking deductions to your income. So this now has sort of a little secret encapsulated into it. We're getting rid of the marriage penalty. For those of you who follow taxes and have for a long time, you understand that the marriage penalty is the dumbest idea anybody ever came up with. Once a long time ago, they threw it out, and of course it crept its way back in again. The problem with the tax code is it gets tinkered with about once a day on average. It is constantly changing because it's constantly being used by the U.S. Congress to do manipulation of the way they want you to act. But that said, now the marriage penalty is going away. So if I say that the single person's standard deduction is $12,000, you'll automatically know there's $24,000 for a couple. Well, that might make you want to think about paying your property taxes early this year, maybe your 13th mortgage payment instead of January 1st, do it on December 29th. Bringing all of those expenses into this year and pushing your income as far as possible into next year might result in a pretty nice little reduction in your overall taxes. If you want to do some tax planning, that's one of the things we're really good at. Give us a call, set up an appointment in the office. Meanwhile, keep listening to the show. We got to go here pretty soon. I can't believe the hour's gone, but it actually is. We'll have a new trivia question next week and a whole bunch of new topics, and I'm going to hammer on required minimums and taxes. Thank you for listening. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.